It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
Have you ever wondered what the best states are for hunting in America? Well, it's certainly something that's open to debate, but well-known outdoors writer, TV host, and book author Chris Dorsey, he's given his opinion about this in a column he wrote for Forbes magazine about the top 10 states for hunting in our great nation. We can't go through all 10, but we'll go through the top 5, and coming in at number 5 is Wisconsin. And with lots of public land and lots of opportunities for multiple species, from deer to turkey and more, I guess that makes sense. Coming in at number 4 is the state of Arizona. It's known for really big elk, big mule deer, and don't forget the desert quail. Number 3, Montana. You knew Big Sky Country was going to make an appearance, and it's a great place to go for deer, elk, pronghorn, pheasant, and sharp-tailed grouse. Number 2, that would be Colorado. Bagging at trophy elk in Colorado is on a whole lot of bucket lists, and there's plenty of other good hunting too. Personally, I loved the duck hunting when I was stationed there years ago in the Army. As for number 1, that would be Alaska. The Last Frontier offers dream hunts galore, whether you're after a big bear, a trophy moose, caribou, Sitka black-tail deer, or on the bird hunting side, ducks, geese, and ptarmigan. Better still, the whole Alaskan experience that goes with these hunts, well, it's easy to see why Alaska tops the list of best hunting destinations. Thanks, Chris, for your column about this. It's good stuff. And if you want to check out the other top states in our nation for hunting, check out Chris Dorsey's article about this in Forbes magazine. This week on America Outdoors Radio, we'll be talking a lot about fishing, and we'll throw in some conservation, too. We'll start things off in just a minute, talking to a legend in the outdoors writing world, Keith Sutton, about cold water crappie fishing and what he uses to catch some big slabs this time of year. Sticking with cold water fishing, we'll also chat with Tanner Cherney. He's with Devil's Lake Tourism in South Dakota, and if you're looking for a fantastic ice fishing destination this winter, I would say Devil's Lake may well be the place for you. Whether you're after perch, walleye, or other species, there's a lot of good fishing going on here in the winter months, and there's guides and outfitters that'll help you have a great time out on the ice. We'll switch from ice fishing to bass fishing after that because, personally, I'm resolving to be a better bass angler this year, and if you're looking to up your game when it comes to bass fishing, you'll want to hear about Bass University. Pete Glusick, a New Jersey-based bass tournament angler and guide, is the founder and dean of Bass U, and he's got a deal for you as we start the new year. I can tell you that I joined at the beginning of the year, and I am very impressed by the instruction available here. It is great. Last but not least, the federal government has made $350 million available to states across the nation to construct wildlife crossings. And we'll talk to Madeline West with the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership about some success stories when it comes to wildlife crossings and how they have reduced collisions and saved the lives of countless animals in the process. Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we are heading to the natural state of Arkansas. We have very well-known and well-respected outdoors writer Keith Sutton on the line. In addition to writing magazine articles for just about every fishing and hunting publication you can imagine, he's also the author of the Crappie Fishing Handbook, which you can purchase on Amazon and in select Bass Pro shops, too. Keith, welcome to the show.
Yeah, John, thanks for having me on.
So, Keith, I want to talk to you about your latest article in Crappie Now, which is a free digital magazine, folks, about cold water fishing tips. But before we get there, I've got to tell you, I was looking on your Facebook page, and a lot of folks have a lot of different things for Christmas. You know, a lot of folks have turkey for Christmas. Some people have a ham. A lot of people have a prime rib. Even a Christmas goose, very traditional. But you, sir, you have crappie for Christmas. I have never heard of this one before.
Well, you're referring to a story called Crappie for Christmas that has been online for quite a while. It's an old story I wrote. It's actually about a particular Christmas when I was much younger than I am now. My mother had been passed away for about a year, and I was 18 years old, and my grandmother and I were right around the holidays, a little down in the dumps because mom wasn't there with us anymore. And my grandmother said, you know what? I'd really like to have some crappie for Christmas. And so she sent me out on an errand to catch us some crappie. And she cooked it for our Christmas dinner because that was one of the dishes my mother really, really liked. And it was just me and my grandmother kind of reminiscing about mom and not having her with us for that holiday and enjoying a little bit of a different meal. But kind of makes for a good story. I just reposted it on my Facebook page, and I think a lot of people enjoyed reading it again.
Oh, that is a wonderful story, Keith. Absolutely. Let's pivot to the new year. Let's pivot to crappie fishing this time of year. A lot of folks, let's face it, they just kind of give up because it's kind of tough for a lot of us to catch crappie, myself included. But you got some really good tips. And one of them was basically not to downsize, but to basically upsize your jigs. Go ahead and tell us why this works.
Yeah, you know, this time of year, the shad that crappie often fish on are much bigger than they will be other times of the year. All the little ones have grown up, and so there's forage out there that's bigger than normal, and it helps to match the size of that forage and bring those jig sizes up. I've heard both ways. Some people will tell you it's better to downsize, but try big jigs sometimes. Get you down there quick to the deep water where crappie are holding a lot of times now. Works really, really good.
Let's talk about hard baits. A lot of bass anglers this time of year will use crankbaits to get some bass. And I've certainly caught some crappie over the years on crankbaits, but never thought of using crankbaits for crappie, especially in the winter months. Why does this work so well?
Yeah, a lot of times this time of year, again, those crappie are out there chasing a little bit bigger forage, and crankbaits work really well. I think 10 years ago, you wouldn't have heard too many anglers trying crankbaits, but now I think people have learned bigger baits like that often catch bigger fish, so you got a real good chance in the wintertime of hooking a 2-pound or better crappie if you're throwing a big deep-diving crankbait. Works really good. Something like a Smithwick Rogue, believe it or not, that's a 4.5-inch crankbait, but I've caught, gosh, I don't know how many really big slabs on a bait like that this time of year.
Not just deep diving crankbaits, too. You also recommend lipless crankbaits, and I got to tell you, I love fishing lipless crankbaits, especially those Berkeley War Pigs and those good old Bill Lewis rattle traps. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, absolutely. Bill Lewis Lures makes a little small rattle trap called a tiny trap that I really like. It's about the right size for crappie to get in their mouth, and I also like a Cotton Cordell spot minnow. They're real good, but any type of lipless crank will work this time of year. I like to rig them up with a Carolina rig where you've got a bullet weight on your line and a bead on there to make a little bit of noise, and you tie a barrel swivel on your line with about a 3-foot leader and put that lure on there. Works really, really good this time of year.
Keith, you are a wealth of information. We can go through more, folks, but we want you to actually read the article. We're not going to go ahead and give you all the tips here. So head to Crappie Now. Just Google that. You're going to go right to the digital magazine. It's absolutely free. You should subscribe to it so you'll get it in your inbox every month or so when it comes out. And check out Keith Sutton's great advice about how to catch crappie. And if you want more great advice, get his book, The Crappie Fishing Handbook. It's available at Amazon, Bass Pro Shops, and other online retailers too. Keith, thanks for sharing this great information with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you for having me on, John. We'll have to do it again someday.
I look forward to it.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you.
Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at AlaskasBestLodge.com.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 200 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, accurate, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
From a bull elk ripping a bugle across the valley to wingbeats on a duck marsh, public lands and waters are integral to our outdoor heritage. Become a member of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers and stand up for our public lands and waters. Visit backcountryhunters.org today.
Come explore the Dalles in Oregon for outdoors fun. Hike amongst the wildflowers, bike our riverfront trail, or visit the Gorge Discovery Center where you can enjoy a live raptor display, or even check out our National Neon Sign Museum. But don't forget the fishing. We've got salmon, steelhead, bass, walleye, and monster-sized sturgeon waiting just for you. When the day is done, tell those tall tales at one of our wineries, breweries, or restaurants, and plan your next adventure. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
Listen. Ice is on the lake, so we're going fishing. With me is my best friend Mike. We're hitting Lake Boygan for the trophy fight.
Will I catch a perch?
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Our next stop today is North Dakota. Yes, that very cold place to be during the winter. But there are some very good reasons to go there. And one place you ought to go is Devil's Lake. With us here to tell you why is Tanner Cherney. He's with Devil's Lake Tourism. Tanner, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. How are you on this fine day?
I am doing well, enjoying the new year, and I want to talk a little bit about ice fishing at Devil's Lake in North Dakota. I understand this is a thing.
It is. We always try to say we have the four seasons of adventure up here between hunting and fishing and get up into North Dakota, and there isn't a heck of a lot of things to do when it gets to be about 30 below with the wind chill, but luckily we've got ice fishing up here and in one of the Midwest best lake with 165,000 acres to explore and chase walleye, perch, pike, white bass, and heck, there's even some crappie in our system. So we're pretty spoiled up here that we have this resource in our back door.
When it comes to ice fishing at Devil's Lake, do you get a lot of tourism up there during the winter? I just kind of figure that most people would kind of shun the idea of heading to North Dakota in the dead of winter.
You know, we do get our fair share of visitors coming up throughout the winter months. And just with the way the industry has gone in the last, even 10 years with technologies of ice shelters and heaters and side-by-sides with calves and heaters. And the new craze up here is the Snow Bears, which is basically a mobile ice fishing machine that's a diesel-powered, full heat inside there. It's almost like a little spaceship when you see them on the ice. But there are so many creature comforts now that almost everyone has the ability to get out there and stay comfortable during it. And the other thing we've noticed a lot of, too, is, you know, we get a lot of people from the Midwest here that'll travel 400 or 500 miles to come in for a trip. But not only that, you've got a lot of people from the southern part of the United States that have never even thought about walking on ice and drilling a hole and all that stuff. So they come up here and at least make one trip out of it so they can say they've ventured out and did a little ice fishing once in their life.
You know, the people from Minnesota and the Dakotas, they're probably seasoned ice anglers. And like you said, they bring the creature comforts with them, whether it's an ice hut or one of these other things you described. But folks from the South, you know, they're probably not so used to this, don't really know what they're doing. Do you have guides and outfitters that'll take folks out for a day of ice fishing?
We do. So we've got actually a wide variety of that option. We've got, you know, your full service guide where you roll into town and basically you've got your warm clothes and that's all you need, and they take you out for the full day. And then we've got, you know, ice house rentals, where if you've got your own equipment and you want to come up and just, you know, have a fun day on the water but not have to worry about dragging your ice house and everything up a couple hundred miles, or if you're flying up, you can rent those. And yeah, so there are a wide variety of different guide services and fishing options up here when it comes to wintertime fishing, even from the very seasoned anglers to just your beginner newbie that's never been out there. We've got you covered in that realm.
Let's talk about ice fishing season. What are the conditions right now, and how long will the ice probably be safe if it's a typical year?
Typical year, you know, we had a little bit warmer of a fall, and we didn't get probably safe ice, which is going to be that 4 to 6 inches where you start to feel a little more comfortable walking out there. And we got that beginning of December. The second week in December is when we got a lot of that more safe ice. And, you know, barring any crazy changes in weather patterns, where we're sitting now, we've got probably a foot of ice throughout the whole system. And we'll fish well into mid-March. Some years, depending on how winter plays out, it's not uncommon to be out there. And in times where we're driving side-by-sides out, still mid-April, Easter weekend, things like that, where we're still comfortable out there with the ice. And then there's years where it could be the beginning of March and we have some abnormally warm temps and things deteriorate pretty quick. But on average, our ice season usually runs from beginning of December to about mid to end of March.
Let's talk about getting out there. I mean, Devil's Lake is a big lake, and obviously if you're not familiar with it, you can just kind of look out there and see where people are fishing. But I'm guessing most folks are not walking, but correct me if I'm wrong on that. I'm guessing they're using snowmobiles or side-by-sides or maybe even pickup trucks, aren't they?
They are. You know, if you look at Devil's Lake from east to west, you probably got 50, 55 miles from the west shoreline to the east shoreline. So there's a lot of water out there to cover. And if you're just walking, you can still get onto some pretty dang good fishing, especially the walleye bite in the mornings and evenings near shore. But yeah, the vast majority of people that are tackling this lake are going to be out there on snowmobiles, ATVs, or side-by-sides of tracks. And then, you know, here middle of January is when we really get more comfortable and start, you know, people probably that haven't been up here before think we're crazy, but yes, we'll take vehicles out, you know, pickups and small SUVs and things like that once we've got that, you know, 18, 20 inches of ice. And that just helps make you a little bit more mobile. And on Devil's Lake, the one thing everyone wants to come chase in the wintertime is our jumbo perch. And the best way to tackle them is making sure you're mobile, whether it's vehicles or snowmobiles, and just being able to move and adapt and stay on top of those fish that are they're constantly moving throughout the basin.
Well, let's talk about those perch. How big do they get, and how are folks catching them?
You know, your typical perch on Devil's Lake is going to be 10 to 13 inches, but then we do have that abnormally true trophy that's going to be 14 to 16 inches that are pushing 2, 2.5 pounds. And the reason they're just so plump is we've got a very healthy population of freshwater shrimp in our lake, and that really just fattens these fish up. And I tell you what, when you're pulling a fish through the hole and you're thinking it's going to be a couple-pound walleye, and then you all of a sudden get it up to the hole and it's a perch, it takes you back a little bit just because of how aggressive they are. And for perch fishing wintertime on Devil's Lake, biggest thing is they're a basin roamer, so they're going to be out anywhere from 15 to 50 foot of water, just depending on where that school is on that given day. Biggest thing is being adapted by being mobile and drilling lots of holes, staying on those fish. You may catch a fish, one or two fish out of a hole, hop to the next one. You might catch another two or three, and just trying to follow that school on the direction they're heading. And the best tackle to have are going to be a couple different options, but tungsten jigs with wax worms is a great lure to use out here. You can fish really deep. You can get down fast. One thing you're going to find when it comes to perch fishing is when that school fire is up, it can be really quick. You could catch 5 fish in 1.5 to 3 minutes, and then all of a sudden that school dies down for a half hour and you may not get another bite for then. So having something that gets down, especially for fishing deeper really fast, is going to help get a couple more hook sets in there before the school may die down for a little bit. And then small rattling blade spoons are another great option, tipped with either a minnow head, wax worms, and actually in North Dakota it's legal to use perch eyes, which is one of the best baits. So if you can get a couple perch topside and use an eye, that's going to help that much more, because that is one of the most durable baits you can put on your lure in the wintertime. You may be able to catch 3-4 fish off of just having one perch eye on there.
Oh, those perch, they are little cannibals, aren't they?
They are.
Let's talk about the walleye. I think that when most people think of Devil's Lake outside of ice fishing, they think of it as a walleye destination because it's just such a great fishery. And I was wondering before we went on the air whether you were going to talk about the perch or the walleye as a premier fishery, but I'm guessing a lot of folks are after walleye, aren't they?
They are. And you know, the cool thing the way Devil's Lake fishes is it can be a full day event out there. You know, a lot of lakes you may get out and fish walleyes in the morning, and then you're kind of twiddling your thumbs until that bite picks up again towards sundown. But the way our lake fishes, it's a great walleye fishery. And you know, you got sunrise and sunset bites is the best time for walleyes. If it's cloudy and you got a lot of snow cover, you can catch walleyes throughout the day. But best times are going to be, you know, that hour, hour and a half at first light. And the same thing, you know, as you get towards sunset, as it gets dark. So it works out well. You can fish walleyes in the morning and then take off and chase the perch throughout the mid-morning and early afternoon, and then set up for walleyes in the evening. But yeah, the walleye fishing up here is some of the best and most underrated, and it can be as crazy as you want it to be. As you know, wintertime you can have a super shallow bite in 5 to 10 feet of water with aggressive lures, or you could be out in 20-25 foot of water on that old lake shoreline, working those pinch points and feeding points where a lot of those bait fish are going to kind of be mingling up, and a lot of these walleyes will come in and scoop them up here in the evening. So there's a lot of different ways to tackle the walleye fish on Devil's Lake, and we can definitely break that down.
If you go to devilslakend.com, that's the website for Devil's Lake Tourism, you can find out more about guides to book with and places to stay this winter at Devil's Lake in North Dakota. Ice fishing, it is indeed a thing, and the place to go to is devilslakend.com. Tanner, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Hey, thank you, John.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now. They're truly Alaska's best lodge. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales. And let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand access to the outdoors. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org.
It's the new year. You're back in with America Outdoors Radio, and maybe like me, you are resolving to be a better bass angler. That's why we've got Pete Glusek on the line. He is the man behind Bass University, coming at us from the Garden State of New Jersey. Pete, happy new year. Welcome to the show.
Happy new year. So happy to be here, John. Appreciate you having me on the show.
I actually am a subscriber to Bass University, and I really like what I am finding there as I explore it. Just joined a few weeks ago. Let's talk a little bit about your background as an angler, though, before we talk more about Bass University. I didn't know that you were actually a guide and a tournament angler before you came up with this concept.
Yeah, I fished out on tour full-time for maybe 15 years out on the Bassmasters, and then I were on the FLW tour and, you know, made a few classics, made some championships, and just lived my dream for quite a while out on tour. And it was somewhere around 08 when myself and my partner, Mike Iaconelli, decided to start Bass University. And it was a great decision. We saw the need. People wanted to learn more, and, you know, with the technology that was available to us, felt like we could really bring this to the world, and that's the way it's been. It's been a learning process. It's been fun, but, you know, we're real proud of our program and our speakers, and here we go into 2022.
Let's talk a little bit about Bass University. You definitely have some of the biggest names out there that are basically giving seminars in videos. You've got, what, a library of over 900 videos at Bass University, is that right?
That's right. 900. Well, we're going to break 1,000 instructional pieces. And, you know, we release 2 to 3 new training pieces every single week. So our site is live. It's interactive. With our forum, it tackles subject matter that applies to the season. So we release training content that relate to the pre-spawn, spawn, post-spawn at the times of year when it's happening, so that people can prepare and train for what's coming. And we do have the best of the best, and we pride ourselves in vetting our speakers. We want guys that are very, very skilled that have learned these lessons through hard work, through success out on the tournament trail. And these are our teachers. So you know when you're watching a Bass University instruction, it's coming from the best of the best, talking about what they're really, really good at, what they're really successful at. So that, I think, separates us. And I think that's why people, you know, really gravitate to Bass University.
Oh, I agree. And folks, I got to point out, one of the people that he has on a number of his videos is John Cruz. Just not this John Cruz, because I would never make it through the vetting process to get through Bass University, but the other John Cruz, who is a really, really good bass tournament angler.
He definitely is. Name spelled slightly different, but we love John. John's been with us from the start. He's one of our original trainers, as comes to mind, guys like Ish Monroe. And, of course, Mike Iaconelli and myself are some of the guys that helped us start, that were part of our very first program.
Well, and one of the things I really like about Bass University is that we all arrive at a certain place, at a certain level in terms of our education. And like, for example, me, there's some things I consider myself pretty good at as an angler. There's other things where I'm not good at all. And you actually have like a Bass Basics, a Bass University, what is it, 101 section for the beginning bass angler that... Some of those videos are very, very useful.
Well, we want to appeal to everybody, and we continue to do that. And we have Bass University Basics, which are, hey, if you're brand new to fishing, you know, learning everything from how to execute a cast to how to find a place to fish in your part of the country to, you know, more advanced courses and even top-level tournament strategy. So no matter who we are, we've got, you know, some education for you. And one of the other cool, really cool things, John, a lot of the guys out on the Bassmaster Elites and at the Bass Pro Tour are actually guys that use our service and have come through our program. And that is a really a great testament that makes me feel pride of what we're doing here. It's great to see these. They're kids when we taught them, it seems, you know, back in 08 and 09, and now they're out on tour. And we even see the top-level tour guys subscribe to the program right now. Just like maybe they're from Texas or Florida, but they know the elites are going to St. Lawrence River where they're going to be smallmouth fishing.
Right.
And they'll catch up on smallmouth tutorials from the greatest smallmouth anglers in the world, and vice versa. You know, the Florida bass offer a unique challenge for everybody, and of course they're all over, but they're unique, and guys from Central and North want to study up on Florida techniques, and we've got guys like JT Kenny and so many of the talented Florida anglers that, with education and instruction, Bobby Lane comes to mind. All of that's available. So, yeah, so people that are just getting started, to people that are aspiring pros, to people that are actually competing and using our product to help their game, we've got it on Bass U.
You're listening to America Outdoors Radio. Again, if you're resolving to be a better bass angler, this is definitely a subscription you'll want to invest in. And I understand you've got a deal for the new year, Pete. Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, it's Try BU. Well, and we do this in the new year. We want to encourage everybody that's, you know, want to learn something in the new year. We're all, you know, this is the winter season for us all. It's a great time to do a map study, to get your dust off your rods, to get trained up for a new technique that you want to learn. Build on one of your strengths or learn one of your weaknesses. And yeah, so we offer a 60-day free trial at Bass U, and it's going on right now. You can use the code TRYBU, but you'll actually, just by going on to bassu.tv, which is our website, you go there and it'll be available for you right there. It's a 60-day free trial, so you can dip your toe in, look around, and we know you're going to love it and stay with us. So, but it's a great time. This is the time. Sharpen up your skills. Mine is these big glide baits. I love what the guys on the West Coast have done with it. It's coming over all over the country. It's kind of spreading like wildfire. So many custom baits out there right now. And it's a place in my game that I want to develop. So that's what I'm going to be doing this winter, is I'm going to be studying that and try to incorporate that into my game. So 60 days free at Bass University. You can, you know, it's a great time to come over, get involved, and work on your game.
We've only got a minute left, but there's two other aspects of Bass University I want to touch on here. Number one, obviously, is the great video library, but you actually have live seminars that happen on a frequent basis with Q&A sections. Cost just a little bit more to get involved with those. And I understand you also actually have on-the-water
training too. Tell our listeners in a minute about all this.
Yeah, we do. As a matter of fact, you guys listening to this right now, you can sign up. We're going to be in Gadsden, Alabama this coming January. I'm trying to pull up the dates for you right now, and I'll have them here for you in just a second. But you go over to thebassuniversity.com, and yeah, it's Gadsden, Alabama. We'll be the 15th and 16th, and we'll be in South Carolina on the 22nd and 23rd. So if you're close anywhere, come on, drive in and hang out with us. It's a great time to interact with the pros. You can get autographed pictures. Ask your questions directly to the pros at those events. And we have on-water training. If you're nowhere near there, we've got trainers from coast to coast. If you are, the Bass University seminars are great tools to learn. But, man, when you get in the boat with one of these talented anglers and really see it in action, and they can really help you move your game to the next level. I do it here on the Chesapeake Bay. We've got guys in Florida, Texas, and all over. So you can get in a boat with these pros and do on-water training with Bass University that way, too.
Wow, this sounds amazing. Again, folks, if you are resolving, like me, to be a better angler in 2022, you probably better subscribe to Bass University. The website to go to, bassu.tv. That's bassu.tv for Bass University. Try the 60-day free trial. I'm sure you're going to get hooked just like I am, and take advantage of some of the instruction that is definitely going to help you whether you're a weekend angler or a tournament angler in the year ahead. Pete, thanks for what you do. Looking forward to crossing paths with you again soon.
Thanks so much, Don. I appreciate you having me on the show, and good luck with your fishing this year.
This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at WorkSharp, and they've got a deal for you. If you go to their website at WorkSharpTools.com and spend $99 or more, you're going to get not only free shipping on your order, but also a free micro sharpener and knife tool. This is a great little product. Fits right in your pocket. Take it out whenever you need to not only sharpen and hone your pocket knife, but also to tune it up. It's got little bits in there for quick maintenance for your folding knives. It fits right in your pocket. It's a perfect accessory to have with you anytime you're on the go. Again, just order $99 or more of product at WorkSharpTools.com. You'll get free shipping and a free micro sharpener and knife tool. Now that is a deal. The website again, WorkSharpTools.com.
We love our children. We protect them. We guide them. We prepare them for life in the world. With all that we do from deep in our hearts, we cannot control all things. Life-threatening illnesses and disabilities affect far too many of our children each year. While we cannot change the circumstances, we can make dreams come true. Dreams to provide hope, to provide spiritual healing and strength, to provide moments of happiness and relief in the darkest of times. We can give a glimmer of light and hope in a time of darkness and despair. Join huntofalifetime.org to help make dreams come true, to provide hope for children with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Hunt of a Lifetime is a nonprofit organization fulfilling dreams for hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Visit huntofalifetime.org to learn how you can make a difference. That's huntofalifetime.org.
Hey, how'd the meeting go with Tommy's school counselor today?
Well, not exactly as planned. I think we need help.
Help? Why do we need help?
Well, I asked her about paying for college, and she said that's not something they do.
Maybe it is time to get some help. Even if Tommy just goes to state college, it's going to cost at least $25,000 a year. We'll have to raid our retirement and pay for Tommy's tuition. There's got to be a better way.
There is a better way. A way where you can pay less for college, or even receive college tuition free, regardless of your income or your students' grades. A way for you to keep your hard-earned income and savings for your future and spend less on college, while virtually eliminating the need for student loans. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org. That's tuitionprograms.org. tuitionprograms.org. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org.
Campers, adventure seekers, hunters, and foodies. No matter the lifestyle, we can all agree on one thing. Great food and great people are worth remembering. At Camp Chef, we don't just make grills. We create each product knowing that a warm meal is always better when it's shared with those we love. Learn more about Camp Chef grills, smokers, and portable cooking equipment at campchef.com. That's campchef.com for a better way to cook outdoors.
You're back in for our final segment of America Outdoors Radio this week, and it's time to talk conservation. The reason why is $350 million from that big infrastructure bill is going towards conservation. Now, I know you're a little confused to hear this. You thought this is going for roads and bridges and things like this, but it's also going towards wildlife crossings. That's right, $350 million over the next 5 years is going to be used to build wildlife crossings across roads and highways throughout the U.S. With us here to tell you more about this is Madeline West, the Director of Public Lands for the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership. Madeline, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, John.
Let's start off with why wildlife crossings are important.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think anyone who lives in a rural or suburban area knows to watch out for wildlife on the road and probably has had an encounter. I grew up in New Jersey. That's where I learned to drive, and I lived in fear of deer jumping out in front of me. So, you know, I think number one is public safety for sure, and the loss of lives that come with wildlife vehicle collisions, and also the property expense comes along with that. But also, as a sports person, I care deeply about the wildlife and their safety just intrinsically. And we know that animals get hit on the road, and we know that animals that migrate seasonally from their summer ranges to their winter ranges have to cross roads, sometimes very big roads with a lot of traffic. And probably all of us have seen animal carcasses on the road. So in order to reduce these wildlife vehicle collisions and make pathways less impeded for wildlife, wildlife crossing infrastructure is really critical.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And, you know, like you said, number one, just a safety issue of avoiding collisions with animals that can definitely kill the animals, but also hurt you. And number two, these wildlife crossings, they can open up migration corridors, which is very important. And if you're listening today, you've probably driven through an area or lived near an area that's called a high kill area. And those are generally migration corridors where deer or elk or pronghorn have to go from their summer to winter ranges or vice versa. So let's talk about some success stories where wildlife crossings have really made a difference. There's several to share, aren't there?
There are, and I will not be able to do justice to all of them. So I'll start by saying almost every state in the West has a wonderful success story. And I'm happy to share resources through the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership's website for people to find out more of those good stories, because the state wildlife agencies and state departments of transportation in the West have really been working hard on those. Wyoming is always one of the first examples that people hear about, because Wyoming has been doing this work for well over a decade. And the Trappers Point project, which was completed back in 2012, has really been a shining star example of this collaboration between wildlife managers at the state and the State Department of Transportation, who can track those kills, those vehicle collisions, and identified an area that really could benefit from a crossing to save people's lives and property, but also really protect the wildlife that cross there and open up that migration corridor that's really iconic across Wyoming. And I'll just say quickly that that project cost $12 million, and we know through tracking has enabled thousands of mule deer and pronghorn to cross the highway safely each year and resulted in a reduction of about $500,000 in annual damage to property. We have another success story in northeastern Nevada. There's been a series of 5 crossings and 4 underpasses constructed over Highway 93 and Interstate 80, and they've helped a herd of 5,000 mule deer cross safely. And what's really interesting about this project is that the transportation ecologists were able to look at the area and determine, based on the species needs in the area and the geography and topography of the area, that a series of overpasses and underpasses would really help the animals pass through safely. Certain animals like to use overpasses because of the lack of predators and the visibility that they have, and certain species are safer using underpasses. So transportation ecologists design these projects based on the needs of the species in the area. And in Nevada, these structures have resulted in nearly 40,000 documented safe crossings since the projects began in 2010. And I'll just say, if 40,000 safe crossings were documented, it's probably more, because the monitoring of these projects is really good. But you can imagine that there's probably even more crossings that have been done. There's also a great story of success in Oregon. Oregon's first wildlife crossing was completed in 2012 in the central part of the state along Highway 97. And that project has been documented to reduce collisions by 85% and support the crossing for more than 40 different species. So, you know, my organization, we care a lot about big game, and we've been working hard to, through crossings and other policies and public land management tools, ensure that migration corridors for big game remain open. But what's really important is that all of this work benefits a variety of different species beyond just big game, and that's why there's so much support for this kind of work. And in Oregon, for example, the Department of Transportation has identified at least 10 more projects that they'd like to fund if funding becomes available. And across the West, there are many, many projects in the queue waiting for funding.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds like this $350 million is going to be money very well spent when it comes to conserving our wildlife and reducing collisions as well. We've got about a minute left. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership? I understand you're celebrating your 20-year anniversary this year.
We're celebrating 20 years of bipartisan, solution-based conservation work. Our organization's mission is to conserve the places where people love to hunt and fish, and that's our public lands in the West, that's our marine fisheries in the Southeast, that's our, you know, waterways in the East, and a lot of private land in the central part of the state that supports wonderful hunting opportunities. And we're really fortunate to, in this tough time, be able to continue to do the work that we love to do and see so many successes. The Infrastructure Investments and Jobs Act has the $350 million pilot program for wildlife crossings that we've been talking about, but there's a lot more resources for conservation throughout that legislation, and we're excited to work with all of our partner organizations to make sure that that money gets out on the ground and we get some real conservation wins.
All right. Well, we have got to go, but folks, if you want to find out more about the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, which is a great organization, just go to their website. It's trcp.org. That's trcp.org. Check it out and check out the great work they're doing across our United States. Madeline, thanks so much for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks so much.
This portion of the show was brought to you by our friends at Henry Repeating Arms. And as we told you last week, we've got something big going on this Sportsman Show season. We're going to be exhibiting at the Washington Sportsman Show in Puyallup. That'll be February 2nd through the 6th. And then we'll have a booth at the big Pacific Northwest Sportsman Show, the second biggest show in the country, February 16th through the 20th at the Expo Center in Portland, Oregon. You're going to want to drop by our booth, and let me tell you why. We are giving away a Henry Golden Boy rifle. That's right, a beautiful 22 caliber lever action rifle. Absolutely gorgeous. It is rugged. It is accurate out of the box. It is made in America, which is important. And it's just a thing of beauty. It shoots great. It looks great. And you might be the one to win it. Just stop by our booth. We're going to have a banner there. from Henry Repeating Arms. It's going to have a number for you to text. You just text that number. Go ahead and follow the simple instructions they'll have for you when they text back. And you are entered for a chance to win. Like I said, we're giving away a rifle at each show. And if you come by our booth and text Henry Repeating Arms, you might be the lucky winner. Speaking of shows, I've got to tell you, I'm a little excited about one I'm attending this month. That would be SHOT Show, the Shooting, Hunting, Outdoor Trade Show, takes place in Las Vegas. It didn't happen last year, but I know generally speaking, 60-plus thousand people show up to this event every year, and they're all people in the industry. This isn't open to the public. It's by invitation only. There's usually a couple thousand members of the media there. My first day will be out at the range trying out new products, new ammunition, new rifles, new handguns. Can't wait to do that. And then I'll be ricocheting from booth to booth, recording interviews, checking out more new products during the trade show on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then fly back on Thursday. Here's hoping my flights aren't delayed or canceled, and here's hoping this show goes off as well as I think it's going to. The National Shooting Sports Foundation does a great job with it every year. It's time to go, and even if it is January and it's cold outside, there are still opportunities to hunt and fish, and you just heard about some of them during this show. Hopefully, they've motivated you to bundle up and get out there and try your hand a little bit of fishing or a little bit of hunting during this first month of the year. Until next week, be blessed, stay healthy, and remember this, it is your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.